Romans chapter 1. I'll read from verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Now please be careful as we progress. Verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now God is saying here that the invisible dimensions of God, the invisible dimensions of creation, are actually made manifest, revealed by the visible dimensions of creation. Now, you see, Jesus came and Jesus was speaking about heaven. Heaven is not visible to the human eye. But you see, when he spoke about heaven, he gave examples, semblances about things that were natural. Every time he brought a spiritual principle, there was always something in the natural that he could use as an example to illustrate it. Are you still with me? Amen? Always something in the natural that he could use as an example to illustrate it. When he spoke about the fact that the kingdom of God was precious, he was able to relate it to a field that was of great price, that had pearls, and somebody had to sell everything he had to buy the field. He spoke, speaking about the fact that in order for you to gain mastery in the kingdom, in order for you to become effective in the kingdom, you need to lose everything that you have sustained as your value within the context of this world. And the kingdom will have to give you a new status, a new designation. Everything that you have known about, maybe you used to be a boxer before you came into the kingdom. The kingdom is so precious that you have to drop your title as a boxer. Lose your status in the world of men in order to gain it. Jesus always had something in the natural with which to illustrate spiritual things when he taught and when he brought the people to understand. So the Bible says that invisible things of God are being revealed, are being made manifest, are being explained. Insight about those things are granted us by virtue of the things that are seen. Things that are tangible. Why did he do it that way? He said that even God's eternal power and Godhead, the concept of his sovereignty, the concept of his eternity, the concept of his corporate reality, his Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in his administration, in his work, in his ministry, everything about God, even his Godhead, is illustrated by the things that I've seen. For instance, how can you explain that you have spirit, soul, and body coordinating together? Can you explain that? Spirit, soul, and body. Somebody can slap you, you feel pain on your body. If at that point in time you are not very, very anointed, the same pain you are feeling on the body will translate to shame in your soul. And because of the shame in the soul and pain in the body, you want to retaliate. Do you understand that? But how can you explain how that God put spirit, soul, and body, made it an entity to function together, to function as one unit? That's a testimony to his eternal power and Godhead. So if you are careful to look upon the things that are seen, you have an idea of how the things that are not seen look like, how the things that are not seen function. For instance, it is possible for you to function from the standpoint of your body. Also possible for you to function from the standpoint of your soul. Possible for you to function from the standpoint of your spirit. People that function from the standpoint of their body live as slaves to the appetites of their body. Anytime their body says they need a woman, they look for one. The definition of such a man is a carnal man. Alright? When people live from the standpoint of their soul, They become self-centered. So anything that they do is because of them. Just in case you find them somewhere, it's not because they came to, maybe they went for a wedding. It's not because they came to identify with the people wedding. He has an agenda. Because his outlook towards life is from the standpoint of the soul, and everything that he will do will be self-centered, self-seeking, self-sustaining, self-propagating. Alright? It's also possible for you to live from the standpoint of your spirit. If you live from the standpoint of your spirit, one of the evidences to show that is that you are going to be selfless. Going to be selfless. You are living unto God. You are alive to God, living unto God. It's the purposes of God that you have perceived that drives your life. How can you explain that? It's a testimony to his eternal power and what? And Godhead. And the reason why God did that is so that the sons of men upon the face of the earth will be without excuse. Just in case you go out and you see the cloud suspended up there and there's no pillar that holds it up there. It's just a testimony to the fact that an intelligence beyond your mind factored it. And you don't need to go too old to know that there are things beyond your explanation that you have accepted as reality. All these things are testimonies to the fact that, to the fact of God's eternal power and Godhead. And if somebody has as much as reckoned with this, such a person is without excuse. I'm trying to make you understand that even visible creation travels with a message, which is enough message to convict anybody that doesn't stumble on Christ in his lifetime. Are you with me? If I take you to the book of Psalms 19, you are going to see the message of creation. It's more buttressed in Psalms 19. Because the Bible says the heavens declare God's glory and the earth his handiwork. So we see there's a relationship between the earth and the heavens. The heavens declare what? Can we check Psalms 19? We'll come back to Romans chapter 1. We'll come back to Romans chapter 1. So that I can show you what we mean when we say the purposes of the old creation are vanity upon vanity, leading to higher degrees of vanity. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Verse 2 says, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Stop there. We cannot separate verse 2 from verse 1. Verse 1 talks about the fact that the heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 1 talks about the fact that the firmaments declare his handiwork. The firmaments, the sky. Then, the Bible says, day to day uttereth speech. That means creation is speaking every day. It says, night to night sweat for knowledge. It means that if you are careful enough, a knowledge of these mysterious things that we encounter in creation should be furnished in your heart. That there's a sovereign personality behind it, whose intelligence is so vast beyond imagining. There's knowledge in creation, knowledge in the visible things that we see. Because those are testimonies to God's eternal power and Godhead. And God did it that way so that no man will be without, every man will be without excuse. You get it? Now, so, let's move now gradually. Go back to Romans. Let's move gradually. Go back to Romans. Amen? I say, Amen. Romans 1. In Romans chapter 1, we'll begin from verse 21 because we just read verse 20. Now, please be very careful as we read verse 21. It says, because that When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, help me with my board. Who can help me with my board? I want to write something. I want us to see the offense. These guys are guys that have denied that even though they are seeing things that science cannot explain in creation, even though they cannot explain why the sky is suspended, even though they cannot explain the source of the many rivers on earth, even though they cannot explain why men die, even though no drug has been made yet that can make somebody wake up from sleep. We know drugs can make people sleep, but no drug can be administered to make a man wake up from sleep. So it's so obvious that there is an intelligence that is behind everything that we can see. But there are some people that decided to blind their eyes to the message that is so obvious in creation. And so the Bible says, because what? Do I have an ink here? Just follow me. Don't worry. Follow me today. I want to teach today. Amen? Follow me. It's not to preach now. I want something to be put inside you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, so, can somebody read that to us? Verse 21. What was their offense? Because when they saw all these things in creation, and they knew that it was the hand of God, what? They glorified him. Wait. Not as what? They knew God, but not as God. They were not. What was the result of that, please? Now, became what? Please, don't forget this. Vain imaginations. Any other thing? Okay, then darkened hearts. That's number one. Now, we have a long way to go because we need to explain what we mean by vain imagination. When we say somebody is under a curse, you will see these things that I'm listing. Are you with me? And we need to find solutions to all of them. Are you still here? All right, who can go with verse 22? Somebody else with verse 22. Not you again, Ode. Okay, it has not finished. In their eyes, it was as if they were wise. Professing to be wise, they became what? Became fools. Okay? Is that all? Somebody else with the next verse. Wait. Evans, I know. Give me some louder voice with power. I want to feel the anointing. No. Don't read. You see, we don't read the Bible as a novel. You read it like a scribe that is reading before an assembly. And it must affect the depth of your belly. So please try again. Now, this is another crime. First of all, the knew him as God, but what was the problem? They did not glorify him as God, and they were not thankful. Now, so the things I write on top are things that should be normal part of our lives. The ones that I write under are the consequences, just in case these normal things are not done. Are you following what I'm doing here? Oh my God! If you are confused, let me see your hand up. Confused? You are dumbfounded. You are not Jesus. Now, I'm doing it quite simply so that you will see it. Just in case you see any of these parameters in your life, the Bible has judged it as diagnosis for you. Okay? Now go on. No, start again. They change the glory. This is another offense. Now, wait. This one I'm marking with red is what they were supposed to do. And I'm going to explain these things. This one is a result of what they refused to do. They did not glorify him as God and they were not thankful. These are the results. You get it? All right. We are reading from verse 23. Are you all there? Now check this. Are you still with me? They have committed another crime. The first crime was that they did not glorify him as God and they were not thankful. Okay? Second crime is what? In addition to that, they changed what? Changed the glory of God into what? I can't hear you, Vance. Okay, stop. Into an image. Change the glory of God into an image. Huh? Okay, they change the glory of God into an image. Made like into what? Corruptible man. An image. Let's add like man. What is the consequence of that? 24. Sit down. Stay with me. Help me. Oh, you have not finished 23? Okay, read. Now, what is so? They change the glory of God into an image like man, like what? Birds, like what? Four-footed beasts, and what? Creeping things. What happened to my ink? Seriously. What is the consequence of that? You know, I hope you know. Wherefore means because of this. Alright? So because of this. Now, the first thing is, I want you to take note of the word also. That means, in addition to these consequences that they were suffering, they opened a new gate of iniquity. And that ushered them to more grievous consequences in addition to the first one that were not removed. It's not as if God removed this one and put this one. He said, this one is still there. Then he now added also. Yes, so wherefore God also. And what is? It's only at this point I can explain what the Bible means by the rulers of the darkness of this world. In the last 2 weeks, I've been doing a study on the rulers of the darkness of this world. We can't explain it until we start from here. He gave them to what? Uncleanliness. Oh my God. You guys don't have ink in your stock. This uncleanliness has its roots in the lust that their hearts now captured. Now notice that at this point when they just committed this crime, lust was not in their heart. But when they now added this one, their hearts opened to diverse kinds of perverted lust. And they were now giving on to what? Uncleanness. Read. Hey, I need ink. Wait, I need ink. check there if there's any. Alright, so this uncleanliness had to do with their bodies. So I can write uncleanliness in their bodies. Alright? Just in case you came with a jot, I've been following my notes, copying from my notes. The uncleanliness was a function of the lust that had seized their hearts. It was revealed in what? A defilement in their bodies. Are you still with me? Now, if you see somebody that is a victim of sexual immorality, the person passed the, followed this door first, and then he opened another door. Just like we, through our intercessory ministry, opened gates of righteousness. Are you with me? Through intercessory ministry and in partnership with the Holy Spirit, we open gates of righteousness into families and territories. Through iniquity, which is using your will deliberately against the will of God, we open gates of darkness. Now, I'm sure, and the result of their actions, you will begin to notice, just like the Bible says, God moves from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another level of glory. In this scripture, you are going to see from one level of abomination to another level of abomination, which will result in one level of darkness to another level of darkness. So when you read your Bible, you will see sometimes you see darkness. Sometimes you see great darkness. Sometimes you see gross darkness. From darkness to great darkness to gross darkness and then to utter. I will show you scriptures that testify about a situation of darkness. Scriptures that testify about a situation of great darkness, of gross darkness, of utter darkness. Through those parameters and rulers, you can come into a territory and you understand what is the source of the kind of things that you see. You see it in this message. Now, I'm just showing you a testimony of vanity, because vanity is evolving. Vanity runs from one level to another. And I said that on the account of the fall, the situation became a situation of what? Vanity. And that's the meaning of that name called Abel. What I'm attempting to do in the book of Romans is to show us the degrees of vanity. That vanity evolves. Vanity is evolutional. Vanity has higher degrees, but it will take some other levels of iniquity to open some other gates of vanity. Are you with me? Now, are you here? I went to preach somewhere. And when I went to preach somewhere, I saw a young lady. This lady was under the influence of so many demons. And I was wondering, because the demons were without number. In fact, as I was close to her, from about 1 meter radius, it was very easy for you to begin to sense the presence of the spirit. So I called her, I said, come, young one, how did you get so entangled at such a small age? At first, the demons were speaking through her, and I spoke back to the demon. I quieted the spirit. Then I called the lady. I brought the lady out of the influence of those demons so that I can talk to her. How did you gather all these demons in this little age? What was the problem? When she was small, about 12 years old, she slept with her cousin. Are you with me? That act opened some doors to her life. Please help me tell your neighbor, what you don't know will not know you. The Bible says, costless shall not come. Are you following? some things that God has kept you from. Rejoice. Some people that have found themselves in those places never had the privilege of living a normal life again. Except God shows mercy. And I hope you know, God's mercy is not by force. God's mercy is controlled by his government. God will decide whether he wants to show mercy or not. You read your Bible? Alright. So, it's by the mercy of God. You see, in order for her at that level, at that age of 12, to consider her and the cousin, I don't know, they must have been operating from this level. At the age of 12. To show you that there has been a stream, a long line of satanic activity that produced a generation that had vanity and that dimension of lust present in their heart at that age. Are you still with me? So, say what's it? Let's get this again. Start again. Please listen. 24. He gave them up to uncleanness through the loss of their own bodies, of their own hearts, to dishonor their body. Can I say something here? The Bible reveals that there is a possibility for you to dishonor your body. Now what is? If you are in a relationship intended for marriage and you sleep with the person, you have insulted God. You have insulted God. You have dishonored God by deciding to dishonor your body. That state of imbalance created by that act can bring the devil into that relationship. In fact, if I'm your pastor and such a thing happens, we don't pray for it. What I will do is that we'll break that relationship first. After we have broken it, we'll see the rift. We'll ensure that you are whole again. The lady is whole again. And then we'll supervise you people with torchlight. Now, you see, it's not an attempt to control people. A time came in my life, God added something. I operated in the office of a teacher for so many years, about 14 years. And God wanted to heighten the teaching ministry, so he gave me the ability to see visions. When he gave me the... Before the apostolic oil came, I knew I had the calling of an apostle early. But the apostolic oil did not come until recently. You can be destined to be a prophet and never become one. God, in taking me into the apostolic, passed me through the corridor of managing the office of a teacher, preserving doctrine and serving it, putting yourself under pressure to live right so that you can teach without compromise. Many people don't know that a lot is attributed to the office of a teacher. If your teaching ministry will have power, you must be living it. He put me under great pressure. And then the apostolic oil had not yet come, but he gave me the ability to see visions. The reason why God did that is so that I can see the spiritual things I teach and understand those things from the spirit realm. I have seen in my short years and my few years of pastoring what can happen to somebody that violates spiritual principles. That life can be eroded totally. So in order for that life not to be eroded, we can do some things that can preserve it. But in the eyes of normal men and natural people, it's as if those things we do is trying to control the people. But God knows I don't have time. Nevertheless, you can't go far if you want to live anyhow. Are you with me? And if you must preach the Bible, you must vow to live it. Not in the public, in the secret, and in the public. Just because of one act of incest, a legion of demons began to hunt to follow this girl. As at the time I met her, before the deliverance took place, if you ask her how many men she has slept with, she doesn't retain the number anymore because it has developed into something strange. But it started with a foundation. The foundation of it was that something was violated. The glory of God was changed and made like unto man, unto bed, unto four-footed beasts, unto creeping things. Because of that, there was a lust, a strange lust that was figured in their hearts. Are you with me? Now, when you go into territories where you see perversities with the body, where people don't honor their bodies, in fact, cultures have accommodated practices that are perverse in dishonoring the body. When you go to places like that, the first assignment you need to do is to make sure that you don't have that weakness. You go first and put yourself, go for, as you begin intercession for the land, the Spirit will visit you and see, try to entice you along those lines. Alright? Gain mastery of the weaknesses that you see. Find expression on the account of your intercessory ministry. When you win there, then you can deliver them. Because you cannot deliver people that have unclean lips if you, a prophet, has the same weakness that the people has. Is it Isaiah? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among the people of unclean lips. I want to assume that he did not start out with unclean lips, but he was sent to a land that people have unclean lips. And then very soon he became like the land. So he lost the ability to deliver them. So you need to ensure first and foremost that when you raise an intercessory platform to begin to minister as a priest to the land and bring spiritual things into the territory through your intercession, the demons in the land will come and entice you along the weaknesses of the people. And you need to prove that you are not of that stock. You are of a different stock. Alright? And you begin to move from hence. And then the prayer shaft will begin to open windows into the territory. Opportunities for you to break forth. Opportunities for you to break out. Opportunities for you to establish the things that God has sent to establish. You cannot deliver a people that you look like. Can we ask God for God's help in a moment? Because as we move beyond this point, the battle will become more fierce. Temptations will become more close. The enemies you fight, you'll be able to smell their breath because they will come at close range. But can we ask God and say, Lord, preserve us. Preserve us. We dedicate our bodies to you. We dedicate our bodies to you. We decide to honor our body that you'll be pleased with us. You'll be pleased with our temple. You'll be able to possess our temple. Inhabit our temple. Put your grace upon our temples. We release into your hand those weaknesses that stir themselves around our temple. And we ask, oh God, that you give us grace for preservation. Grace to be messengers that will not bring disrepute to the gospel. That everywhere we are found and figured, let righteousness be our most natural state of existence. We call upon you. Lord, in our midst, there are so many young people, so many young ladies, so many young guys. Let it never be mentioned among us that bodies were violated, that honor was discarded. Raise unto yourself a holy nation, a peculiar people, such that have been called out of darkness into your light of mother. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Before I proceed, I would have loved to go to another scripture, but it will take us too far away from where we started from. Remember, always remember, that the Bible says that every man must know how to possess his vessel. That means that experience of learning how to tame your body, to bring all the appetites of your body under check, alright, that skill, that act is different for every man. There's somebody that when he eats rice, he feels like being with a woman. So in the act of him mastering how to possess his body, he has to advise himself not to eat rice until he becomes married. Let him make do with Loam and the... Do you understand? You are not with me. You don't like me preaching these things. You see, I came from the last dime of the old school. God doesn't do anything without holiness. Every man must learn the skills involved in what? In possessing his vessel. If you discover that if you are living a fasted life, it will be easier for you to relate with ladies. Right on. You don't know how much I prayed and fasted before I married. So much so that after I married, I told my wife, I said, see, let's go on 3 days. Just 3 days, let's move. Because the grace was too much. After marrying, I could go again for 6 months. I said, let's journey for 3 days. As the people that came to my wedding, I kept afflicting them with burdens. I found grace in God. If no man is wrong, let me assure you. Not me, not even me. It is the grace of God. When you know how to handle the grace that comes to make us taste, you know how to release yourself to it, you know how to receive it, then you know how to possess your vessel. Every man must learn it. And just in case you say, if I can only marry, this weakness will finish. I assure you, by the time you have married, you will still find out that they will send you to a course in Zambia. And they won't pay for air ticket for your wife. And you'll be there for 6 months. In a situation like that, one young small boy can be bearing your surname there. Some people, it's just youth service that they went for. And they had to escape in the night. So the mother now called, they'll give them Richard Copper. Richard. Because that guy doesn't have any plan to visit that place. He left something behind. Every man, please don't laugh, must know how to what? To possess his vessel. If you read about the story of old saints, they prayed a lot. The reason was because they know they have a body. And that body, most of the time, doesn't respond to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. He has his own mind. He has his feeling. It has his appetite. He can hunger for something. And it's our call in the kingdom to bring everything that is in our universe subject to the will of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that those prayers I prayed to receive grace to possess my vessel, I didn't know they will affect me till now. Because after marrying, I was not up to 1 year married, 1 or 2 years. I had a leading to fast for 3 months. Hallelujah. And for 3 months, I didn't touch my wife. So I saw that grace is still there. And you need the grace more as a married man, married woman, much more than a single. Because nothing opens the door to several complexities of life than refusing to honor your body. By the time you hit 22 years, you begin to understand that your body has a language. And it's even earlier for ladies. I don't know about them. I'm talking about young men. But you see, there's grace sufficient for you to know how to possess your vessel and to honor your body. That's why the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, because there are several dimensions of honor. One of the honor that should be part of marriage is the honor of the body preserved. Alright? There are many dimensions of honor that we can bring into the context of accurate marriage. One of them is that the honor of an undefiled body must be part of it. Now the Bible says they change the glory of God into an image like unto man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Go on. 25. Wait. Was this the only result of this crime? God gave them unto uncleanness in their hearts that they should lust. Read that thing again. Dishonor, not the bodies of others, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Go on. They have committed another crime now. What did they do now? They changed the truth of God to what? To a lie. Alright? They worship and serve the creature more than what? The creator. So this is their crime. They made the truth of God a lie. I will explain that. And then they worship and serve the creature more than what? The creator. Therefore, what happened? What was the consequence? Who is blessed forever? Amen. What was the result of this error? For this, because of this, vile affections. So, do we have an explanation of vile affections there? Read on. Okay, in bracket, vile affections, we have lesbianism. We have Alright? That's lesbianism. Homosexuality. There has been a perversion of lust. As much as fornication and adultery is bad, these ones have gravitated. It took another opening of vanity to take them to that level that can sustain, that can create and sustain that kind of desire. Notice that people that practice these things claim that that's how God made them. But you see, what they did is that they committed a spiritual offense of iniquity that created these vile passions. And they cannot but function like this. If they are going to change, they will have to be delivered. And after being delivered, they will be placed under inoculation for a period not less than 2 years before they can come back to me. We just want you to know that they don't arrive there one day. It's another degree of vanity. See what it means now, vanity upon vanity. Don't worry, we'll analyze it. Notice we will soon get to the peak. When we get to the peak, then we'll look at our generation. Because if the peak, normally God judges. Then he creates another civilization. with those that have found favor with him. Read on. Men with men. That is, evil animals don't behave that way. So, it is, even animals can't see it. They are not comfortable with the sight. But that is what has resulted, because vile passions, the door of vile passions have been opened. They receive the reward of their error. So, now notice the Bible says that because of this thing that they did on this level, they received what? A recompense, a reward which was due them. Presupposing that by the time civilization gets to this level, God must bring judgment. At this point, you cannot receive but receive the reward that is due you. Do you realize that there was a point, you can sit down please, there was a point in the body of Christ where a musician, and not so much, man came and confessed to the public that he was gay, and he has always been like that. And so that's why he came and proclaimed it. That was how, that is the portrait of Sodom that the Bible reveals. That at any point in time that any civilization gravitates into that portrait, God will be coming to judge the earth. But I need you to see the progression. What did they not do? First of all, they knew God but did not glorify God as God and were not thankful. Can we deduce the things we should do from here? Can we deduce it? First of all, our hearts are perpetually thankful that God has saved us. And we glorify Him perpetually as a natural part of our lives. They change the glory of God into an image like unto man. In the office on Thursday, one guy bought a portrait from France. It is bronze casting. Alright? Bronze casting on glass. Very fine to look upon. And then they made a portrait of Jesus on the cross having the band of thorns upon his head. And they brought it so that we can buy if we're interested. 50,000. But the point is this. The thing was fine. But you see, it was an image. An image that sustains a likeness of what we mentally figure as God. It will be a crime for me to buy that portrait and put it in my house. Unknown to me, if you do such. You may not know why uncleanliness will begin to invade your heart. So, in this place, we make sure that we don't get physical things and we don't exalt, first of all, ourselves above God. Now, what I mean by exalting yourself above God is this. It is possible for God not to be able to enter into your financial life to request and to establish a financial structure that you live by. It means that in your heart, Mammon is your God. There's something exalted in you that God cannot order, God cannot administer. Alright? Some people, their anger has gone beyond the reach of God. As long as anger has taken over, he can carry out actions that he doesn't submit to the Holy Spirit. I've seen people before that are living desperately in sin, but they don't want to live there. And when we're trying to diagnose the situation, we now discover that it's linked to a particular habit that the person likes. The person likes the fact that, can I go into detail? Let me go into detail. I went somewhere. And when I got there, I saw a preacher. I saw this preacher, and from my little knowledge of God, the wife of that preacher, by all standards, can be called possessed based on my little knowledge of God. Obviously, there was a demon around. And this lady comes under the influence of that demon, does things that when she recovers herself, leaves to be ashamed of. And we're hiding it and managing it. And a time came, it was necessary to investigate it. Hallelujah. It was necessary to investigate it. Then I saw that those things happen anytime it's as if God is instructing that something should be done. And the husband goes ahead to do it without discussing it with her. That thing. Those manifestations begin. So you see, it is demonic. That's number one. There's no doubt about that. She's born again, so she's not possessed. She is demonized. Okay. Now, demonic activity must be resting on something. Are you with me? But in her own case, I saw that the first time I saw that that demonic activity was resting on her desire to be important. Now, don't ask me, can we trace the presence, where the demons came from? Obviously, it's a family situation. Are you with me? All of the ladies from that family find it difficult to submit. It's a family thing. It's a family. That thing came from a family. Okay? For any time God is saying something, this is the direction we are going to go. And she feels that she should be consulted. For what? God has spoken. This is the direction. Then she will now take a posture to resist that. Now, I didn't feel it was demonic until one day the lady called me on the phone and I was high in the spirit and I was hearing the voice of devils. So I walked up to the pastor and said, "Your wife is frozen." He was confused. I said, "Time will tell. Time will tell." When the knob of the gift of discernment of spirit clicks, it has never lied to me once. That knob. I said, "Your wife is old." Later, God now exposed some things. And in the night, they sent for me. I came there. And then the wife now confessed that the truth is, she knows that she's possessed. Help me. So we now have to bring the issues that we have discovered. That will you let go of self so that Jesus will be Lord? Because in living or letting go of self, you have accepted the government of God. That God is sovereign. But if you don't let go of self, what you are trying to do is to change your need to submit to God. You have made yourself a God in some way. And you find yourself fighting the purposes of God. Are you with me? We took the case to our Father in the Lord. This is the testimony that we have gathered. And he said, we should know that this is going to take a process. It's not going to be instant. Because it was constructed over the years. true. We have to tell the pastor again. That means anytime the thing is coming up, you take the responsibility to inform her so that if she wills to walk with God, she should come. But I added to the lady, just in case you decide to continue, you will suffer, not a curse. Just, you know, obviously she went her way after that, and then Baba struck on. There was nothing to surrender again. There was nothing to surrender. There was nothing left to surrender. So there was no choice but to surrender. But see, all of that, those demonic activity was hanging on the fact that somebody refused to submit to them. There are things, like in my own family, what I saw as a major weakness is anger. So I knew that I had to settle it young. My son has the same problem. Yes, I've seen it in him. So the same thing. So now that I understand it, I'll be able to help him more. You see, gifted people, intelligent people, but with an excessive anger element. So when I discerned it early, it was a weakness that came from the insufficiencies of my family line. For those of you that believe that if you are in Christ as a new creation, old things are passed away. That scripture has nothing to do with anything but your spirit. Your spirit, your spiritual reality has been altered, has changed. God now dwells in your spirit. And God knows that with the investment of the Holy Ghost in your spirit, if you walk by His leadership, you will undo every other thing that has been passed in the environment. Alright? But it doesn't instantly suggest that everything has been dealt with. But God has changed you and added Himself to you so that you can now, in working with obedience to His Spirit, bring the desired change that you have been waiting for. Are you with me? I saw that there was anger there. And that anger, I've seen several people that have built things and that anger destroyed it. I said, no, we can't go this way. This is a curse, bringing limitation to our clan, our tribe, our family. So I released it to God. I knew it early. And the Lord dealt with it. Dealt with it. There was another witness there. There was pride. The Lord dealt with it. And the Lord told me that the grace I'm putting on you cannot mix with pride. The only thing that will reduce your lifespan is that you, once upon a time, you became a proud man. So you don't need to preach to me about pride, issues of... It rings in my ears every day. Because I know that if I'm going to live long on earth, I'll have to live in humility. And it's not a preacher that told me. It's God that told me. Are you with me? Those are the weaknesses that were transferred. Do you realize that you can be an anointed preacher that is proud and angry? And the same symptoms and circumstances of demonic activity that happens in your family can be happening in your life even as an anointed man. Just because some doors are open and you have exalted yourself above the government of God that is against that pride, that is against that anger, and you have not yielded it to Him to take it away. You like it. I've seen some people like that delivered from witchcraft. And then the reason why she was not fully delivered was because she loved one power in her eye. That when you make her angry and she looks at you angrily, you become sick. She likes that power. There was nothing we could do to remove it because she likes it. Even when we remove it, she collected it back. That the rest I can leave, but this power to afflict people, bring curses. If I lose it, die. As long as that love was there, the demonic activity continued. Until she came to a point, God took her to a hard way, and then she realized she could not continue anymore. So she, by herself, came, and then we took away the goggles that she was wearing. She became free. But you see, you need to submit that influence to the government of God, to the will of God, in order for God to reign supreme and enter into that place and demolish everything that had been put in place by the enemy. I want you to watch these things. Your heart is expected to be thankful and full of glory and gratitude to God perpetually. You must yield to the government of God. And let there be no image, nothing higher in your life than God's authority. Number four. Three, sorry. You must live within the context of the truth. The things you read in the scripture, have you made them government in your life? How authoritative are the words of scripture in your everyday life? How authoritative? Should we do random sampling and ask some questions? Okay, don't be embarrassed. I want to teach you. Stand up, Oga. Do you pay tight? Don't lie, just say the truth. You pay tight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You have tried. You pray every day?
Yes, sir.
How many times do you fast in a week?
I just started it. Recently, I've given myself to it.
Okay, you have given yourself. Okay, this is a good student. Sit down. Joy, stand up. Do you pay tight?
Yes.
I know you pray, so let's not go there. Okay, sit down. Sit down. You have tried. If you see a scripture in the Bible, how much authority does that scripture have to influence your life? How much authority? Some things have been judged in my life and settled. And the more I see things in scripture, I adjust. Don't live a lie. Somebody believes that because he is giving and he is living in fornication, that God will still bless him. And he believes it. That's his own way. He has only one problem. And the grace of God will take care of one problem. He has woman problem. Meanwhile, Martha said he's cooking, that she's cooking. She's only cooking. Meanwhile, when Jesus analyzed her condition, he said, "You are troubled with many things." Whenever you see a man that has one problem, he has plenty of problems. But Martha lied. She said that's the only thing she's doing, she's cooking. But Jesus said, "You are troubled with many things." Every aspect of your life will be subjected to the word of God. So that you don't come, because I see the average believer today is just, he lives in the zone of a lie. That's a comfortable place to accommodate his lust, accommodate his lawlessness, accommodate so many things that are out of track in his life. When will that day come in Nigeria, when somebody takes a bribe, we can vow and say he's not a Christian? That person is not a Christian. Hallelujah. Now, from what we have seen now, vanity keeps on evolving as more doors of iniquity are open. Now, so the name Abel means vanity. So, we could see that the end point of the generation of Adam was vanity on the account of the fall, because Abel was his second son. Now, so we moved to another generation because God abandoned the generation of Adam and decided to start with a new generation, which is the generation of Seth that we read about. The first son that Seth had, his name was Enos. Have you seen it? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, his name was what? Enos. The meaning of Enos is frail man, weak man. Weak man. Frail man. He's so weak that he cannot depend on himself to do anything. Are you with me? Weak man. I've seen several people that have tried by an act of their own will to stop smoking and they failed because they don't understand that these things have been judged before. That humanity has become weak. A man's will is not a legal tender sufficient in the realm of the spirit to facilitate a change. Because it is what? Man is weak and frail. So in the economy of God in the New Testament, what God has done is that He has provided grace. Grace is the element that God brings in order to make up for the insufficiencies of the endowments of man. Man's deliverance cannot come from man. Now, by the time you come to this point where you understand that the purposes of the old creation are vanity, there's nothing you do with your strength that will strike any spiritual cord and better your life spiritually. Secondly, you come to the revelation of the fact that you are weak. All the resources you have in you are not sufficient to sponsor you along the ways of the Lord. Your life will just follow the normal pattern of circles and cycles as it has been since old time. And patterns keep evolving, patterns keep coming from one generation to the other. You see, the understanding of these two dimensions, the vanity of the old creation and the frailness of humanity, led that generation to do something strategic. The Bible says that in that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, so, the true topic I'm trying to consider, and I'll be considering it as long as the Lord gives me utterance, establishing a life of prayer. The foundation of your life of prayer must be twofold. First fold foundation is that you must understand that everything in the old creation is vanity tending to vanity. If I take you to the book of Psalms 24, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the floors and established it upon the seas. Revealing to us that the earth doesn't have true foundations. The earth was founded on floods and seas. If you take an axe now and you dig, keep digging into the ground, you will meet water. Because the foundation of the earth is water. God did not establish true foundations in the earth. Second question that was asked is, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? There is only one place that has true foundations, and that is the hill of the Lord. And the psalmist was requesting, who wanted to come and stand on that hill, to build his life on that hill, to build his life in that place where security and stability has been ordained by God. The Bible opening up told us that because we have come to discover that the old creation is a creation of vanity tending to vanity, and nothing of that creation can serve the purpose of God. Secondly, we have also come to discover that man in himself doesn't have enough resources to sponsor his life out of the circle of quagmire that the fall has brought him into. The only option that is left is the life of prayer. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Notice that if you come to a place where you see these things, maybe the next session, the next class we do on this topic, I'll now explain what the rulers of the darkness of this world represent. There is a spirit. Whenever people, that pushes people to violate these principles so that they can come to these places where vain imaginations dwell, where darkness invades and governs the heart of men, where people profess to have their own wisdom aside the wisdom of God, where by this profession unknown to them they become foolish, but they don't know because they have been blinded in their hearts. That place, these realities are governed, are under the influence, orchestrated and governed by some kinds of spirits. That's what the Bible calls the rulers of the darkness of this world. We'll look at that critically in the next class. When you come and stand before God, just know that you have, let your mind be armed with this truth, that I've discovered that everything everywhere is sinking sand, is vanity. That's number one. That means I have no option, no alternative. Secondly, me myself, I cannot help the situation because I'm frail and weak. So you come to God with a knowledge of your weakness. That is the foundation of a prayer, of establishing a prayer life. Many people come to God wanting Him to do stuff for them. That's not the foundation. When Elijah met the widow of Zarephath, it was obvious that there was famine in the land. But you see, Elijah did not say that the widow should go and make a cake for her son and for herself. Elijah said, make for me first. That is God's demand. If you have come to see that there is vanity in the old creation, you have come to see that there is insufficiency in you, you will not want to make yourself the priority of your prayers. You will make for God first. You know, there are a lot of people that pray a lot, but they don't know God. Why? Because there's a wrong priority in their prayer profile. They are going to pray so that they can kill spirits or demons or people. You can pray like that for as long as you please. You will not know God in the process because there's something wrong with your prayer. Your prayer is not stemming out of a knowledge of the fact that there is no alternative anywhere. It's not stemming out of the fact that you have acknowledged your insufficiency. It's not stemming out of the fact that God is the only solution and you are going to wait on Him for Him to call the shots. Tell your neighbor, make for Him first. Now, I'm expecting that after this lecture, apart from our corporate level of prayer, which is wonderful, very wonderful, hallelujah, all the ministers that serve in this place are wonderful people. Can we put our hands together? Rejoice in the Lord for their life. Amen. Great men. I feel the prayers that come from here in Lagos. I feel it. Those prayers sponsor some revelations that I receive in the scriptures. I can stand like this and I'm communing with angels. My God, they're trying to make the work difficult so that our spiritual lives will be cut off. But the more they put pressure, the more I fly. Hallelujah. It's wonderful out there. Amen. But you see, let this be your story. We will be more effective if we are individually effective. We will be able to generate more spiritual power corporately if each and every one of us is devoted and dedicated to a life of prayer. Now, the one we are doing as a congregation is wonderful, but this is a new call that everyone will have to dig a well for himself. The reason for this is this. It may be that a day will come where you will find out that you are not under congregational warmth. And then your personal prayer will take you through. There is congregational prayer, there's personal prayer. Enjoy the congregational prayer as long as you are in the congregation. But you find out that there's a possibility to move to a place where you don't enjoy the sweet warmth of this congregation. And you should have generated enough personal prayer to be able to carry on. Hallelujah. There's corporate anointing and there's personal anointing. When we come together, there's corporate anointing. The things that happen that we see on the poop is not a function of the mastery of the preacher. It's because many anointings have gathered together so that we can hold the dimensions of heaven on the ground. Hallelujah. That's why we need to gather. Because the cumulative impact of our spiritual power when we are gathered together is light years ahead of what you can generate as an individual. And there are several battles that are generational battles, congregational battles, not personal battles. There are several principalities that you cannot deal with as an individual in Christ. Those principalities have to be dealt with from the congregational level. Two or three need to gather to discuss the issues of those princes. There's nothing as a blessing as congregational prayers. But right now we need to develop personal ones. Just in case you are in a place, you need to develop personal prayer so that if you are isolated from congregational fellowship, you will be able to stand and bring the government of God into the arena where God has planted you. There's congregational faith and there's personal faith. What happened when the children of Israel sent spies into the land of promise to go and spy it out? They came back with a report. The report quenched the congregational faith, But Joshua and Caleb had personal faith. The move of God continued in the hands of men that had personal faith going when congregational faith had been blotted out. Are you still with me? So we need personal prayers, congregational prayers, personal faith, congregational faith, personal anointing, congregational anointing. I've gone to places before where the congregation was dry. You couldn't sense the Holy Ghost anywhere. So I came with personal anointing. Even though God didn't move the way he moved yesterday in those places, but he still moved. Because I came with something. I came with personal anointing. And I know how to stir up the personal anointing that God has put upon me. So when I saw that the place was dry, I began to shake the atmosphere. Began to shake the atmosphere. When the window now opened, I entered that window. And the power of God broke in the congregation. And the elders that kept the people bound had to repent that day. They repented in the hall. After the repentance took place, then the whole heaven opened very well. Then power began to flow everywhere. The elders had locked the fellowship. They had thrown the key out that they will manage it without God. And that day, God moved, but it came by personal anointing. But you see, it's easier to operate corporate anointing. When the guy that leads opening prayer leaves some anointing on the altar and drives some anointing into the congregation, the guy that takes on with praise and worship, he stands on the anointing that the first man left into the atmosphere, and he brings his own dimension and adds to it, releases something into the congregation. There's a build up. Then the guy that comes to give the exhortation, he changes the scope and brings something heavy. By the time the preacher comes, he doesn't need to preach anymore because the presence of God is already working on the hearts of men. That's what the gospel would have done if it were preached, and so there's no need for the. So the last minister that comes on board just flows with the Holy Ghost, and the mighty release of God comes. It was cumulative. It's not the strength of one man. Don't see one man in that picture. It's a corporate anointing. But now the Lord calls us to develop personal wells, so that if we are not privileged to enjoy the benefits of the corporate spirit, the corporate anointing, something will still be happening within your quarters. I found out that so many people have become lazy in their personal prayer life. But the corporate one is flowing because an altar has already been raised to God. And God in heaven has lowered himself to pour oil on that altar by establishing a covenant with us in the spirit that the oil will keep flowing. Oil will keep flowing as long as the sun still rises. Hallelujah. And we can stand under that covenant and enjoy the anointing and forget that we need to build our personal life. So prayer life, your prayer life must be established on that foundation. I have no other choice, and I'm not sufficient in myself. That's why I look unto God. The word translated man in the Greek is anthropos, which is a being that was created to look upward. It gives us the relationship between the sun and the moon. The moon has no light. The moon needs to depend on the sun for light. The moon just reflects light. And if the moon is going to reflect light from the sun, the moon must be inclined to the sun at an angle to receive light from the angle. How much light the moon receives is the same quantity of light that it can emit. Man, we are just containers. But as we look to God, the angle and the degree to which we receive illumination from him is the extent to which we can reflect the same. We cannot stand in our sufficiency, because our sufficiency is of God. God ordained it that way, so that in all humility, like in the days of Seth, we could stand and call upon the name of God. I want to stop here today. Now we'll move further in the next lecture. In the next lecture, we are going to see the spirits from the kingdom of darkness that are dislodged and dispersed in order to frustrate you enjoying a personal prayer life. When we begin to talk about that, you begin to see, then we'll define all these things very, very well. And then you see that if you are a praying husband, praying wife, and your husband is not a praying man, you are going to receive attacks from your husband. Serious attacks. The attacks will be so grievous as if it's the devil himself that's at work. Young ladies and young men, you know, we have a parable. I have a parable for all of you. Alright? Don't marry, sister, don't marry a man that has no history in God. The man that got born again yesterday and he wants to marry you, no, don't marry. Irrespective of how handsome he is or how much money he has. Very soon you find out that just as riches can be, you can be shared, poverty too can be shared. And you enjoy your life in poverty. There are nations that share their poverty. You don't get it. See, don't make that a yardstick. Money is not the issue. Make sure that the person is not a new believer. He has been walking with God for some time. He has records among his spiritual fathers that this is a man of integrity. That's why as a lady, you need to partner with the spiritual... Okay, let me stop. Not, it's in the youth conference. We'll talk about it. Don't just marry. If you begin to soar spiritually more than your husband, he will attack you bitterly and grievously. And the reason why those things are happening is because the devil wants to stop you from having a prayer life. Everything is bound to work against it. You know, in marriage, God left a curse. He said, what God has joined together, let no man put aside. Why? Because everything in nature will fight against two of you. Everything is programmed to fight against it. So he said, we know things want to put it asunder. But let no man be involved. So he placed a curse on a man that will partner with the forces that want to put asunder this that God has joined together. Because it's not natural for two people to partner in one purpose and in one destiny. It's not natural. It's only God that can do that. And everything that is in the visible creation will fight. So he put a curse there so that men will be afraid to partner with those spirits in afflicting. Because those spirits need a human vehicle to put asunder. Do you get it? So he put that curse there just to restrain men from, but they still. In fact, you need to understand also that that's number one. Everything, just as everything is wired to work against marriage, everything is also wired to work against a praying parent, a praying woman, a praying lady, a praying young man. When you begin to pray, then things will begin to happen. Things, if you are not well taught, you will escape and resign. Because all hell will break loose. You see, what Seth did that I want you to see before we close is that that man refused to be subject to the fall. Whereas the other people were products of the fall. Seth and his generation decided to go beyond the fall to call upon the name of the Lord. I hope you have read your Bible. That he that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be what? And that's an Old Testament truth, not even New Testament. So those guys were separated. Those were the people that the Bible eventually called the sons of God. We don't have time for that one today. They were separated unto God. Their crime now became when they now came and married the daughters of men. The principle of holiness was violated because holiness is separation. So when the principles of holiness was violated, then the result is there. Are you with me? Now, we are going to pray. Now, the prayer we are praying is an impartation. The grace for you to go, I know that most of us have personal prayer lives. Just in case some people came today that don't have or want to do this impartation. The grace for you to establish personal prayer anywhere you are existing will come upon you. Now, you might ask me, what time should we pray? I can assure you, based on, for me, there's no way I can pray in the morning. Morning is not in the morning. Because it's not, I can't accommodate it in my morning. Are you with me? If you have ever, have you been to Trappi, to the depot? You have seen those tanks? I climb them every day. Not one. I climbed the one in one day for one day. If that same day I go and climb another one. If you have gone up there, and these ones are small ones, the ones in Lagos, Nababa. When you go up there, by the time you come down, your leg can be shaking like this. And you don't get used to it. So what I do to stay alive, when I come back, in fact, it will even take appetite from you. So I have to sleep. So there's a time that I've kept on my prayer. Just in case you're asking, must it be in the morning? My own is not in the morning. Just one question before we go for the impartation. Let's see. After this teaching, I want you to go and establish a prayer, a personal prayer. I know that in your family you wake up and you pray together. That's not what I'm talking about. You must have at least 1 hour, at least 1 hour that is dedicated to personal prayer. Maybe when you come here, you do 2 hours, you add it to it. What's that? 3 hours. But your own must be at least 1 hour. Any more questions before we continue? The intricacies of developing a prayer life, the attacks you are going to receive, the things the devil will do, the antidotes of the spirit for those attacks, we'll keep discussing all of them until everybody gains mastery in personal prayer. Half of our pastoral problems will be solved if everybody here has a personal prayer life. Half. Any other question before we now go? This first session is elementary. But we'll go deeper next time and talk about the way spirits operate, so that when you begin to experience some of these things, you will know. Any day you are about to have breakthrough in your prayer, you'll be very discouraged that day. Anytime great discouragement comes upon you, drag yourself by your will. Even if your leg doesn't want to move, move it with your hand. Move it, move it, move it. You must learn how to work against controlling spirits. Drag yourself. That day that you didn't feel like coming, just enter or kada. Close your eyes. Close. And when you enter, drag yourself. That day will be the best day of your life in that season. We will talk about controlling forces. You will know how forces fight prayer. That time you are dedicated unto God, you will fight for it. Because that's why I say off your phone, throw it away. Remove the battery. Leave the phone. Off every distraction. Off everything. And then set your heart with this knowledge in mind. Every other thing is vanity and I'm insufficient. So I seek you. You are the sufficiency that I know. Come with that mindset and God will reveal himself to you. Are you still with me? Any question before we go on? Yes, ma'am. Where is the second microphone? Second microphone. Now listen to her now.
It's in line of the study, the book of Romans. He said, when man started from that beginning to this end, then it come to a point that God will give man, give them up. That's verse 26. Unto a vile affection. Then continue down. Then my question is, at that stage that God has given up on man, will he still, is it possible for man to be saved?
Now, like if somebody, in the villages, those people that serve idols very well, not 90% of them don't end up getting saved. Have you realized? 90% of them don't end up getting saved. People that serve, that have a combo, most of them die in it. Because when they have gotten to that level, it will take the mercy of God to deliver them. God does that once in a while. By an act of his sovereignty, send some angels, intercept some of them, and they come out to testify to the rest so that those rest will live. But he doesn't do that every time. Because he said he will have mercy upon him whom he will have mercy. Mercy is God's prerogative. He decides where and when to have it. Meanwhile, the path of salvation is open. And everybody can walk into it. Alright? But you see, there, because of the influence of what we call the rulers of the darkness of this world, by the time somebody has come here, those rulers of darkness, in fact, at this level, when they profess to be wise and are fools unto God, the rulers have already started deceiving them to a level where they can't even believe you. There's much deceit in them at that time. Before they now move to other levels, other deeper levels. Yes, God can still bring them out, and he still does that. But at those levels, it will take a special manifestation of God's mercy. And that is God's exclusive prerogative. He decides whether he shows mercy on that level or not. Have you ever seen times in scripture where God said, don't pray for this man? Leave him. Why? See, he knows the end from the beginning. He's not starting to confront the situation from your own level of knowledge. He has a superior level of knowledge. He knows what the end from the beginning is. A waste of time for you to move away. Because there's some levels of indulgences and there are some depths that men go to that even mercy will discuss. Hallelujah. In our next lecture, we are going to analyze these things much more. How do you tackle people that are already vain in their imagination? They want to make you look like a fool just because you are preaching the gospel. How do you confront people whose hearts are darkened? You come with a message, they see life miracles, but yet they are not releasing their hearts to Jesus. There's darkness, first of all, in the hearts of men. Is operational by these rulers of the darkness of this world. This is in those communities. How do you tackle people that have personal wisdom, their own wisdom, and they believe is superior to anything you can say, and they are set in their ways? These are operations of darkness that have been occasioned by the fact that, first of all, in their heart, they knew God but did not glorify Him as God. They were not thankful to God. And this is the result. We'll look at all of that. So a lot of change is traceable to the development of our personal prayer lives. And God calls His church at this point in time to go to the personal altar and begin to practice the presence of God. Begin to learn the ways of God by His Spirit on the prayer platform, on the prayer altar. Not corporate prayer. Personal prayer. Yes, give it the microphone. It takes you guys half a year to get another microphone. I think when the service comes to an end, I have to come and pray for those people. Give him a microphone. Let him ask his question.
Praise the Lord.
Why do you guys always make the voice look so funny, sound so funny?
At the initial
stage, now he doesn't have any voice anymore.
You gave an example of a human that is a human. Now, this problem, when someone is operating to that level, and
the singer was operating from here.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So what would be the effect of such a person in the body of Christ? For instance, someone has gone to that level and the person is prophesying in the church.
And he's transferring this influence, this ability.
Okay.
So he'll be making more converts to become his kind of person, much more than Jesus' kind of person. I don't want to talk this now. We need a whole day for it. The day we want to talk this, we'll not go home before the evening service. We'll go like that straight to 4:00, then we'll start the evening service. Now you see the way demons operate and manipulate people's minds. and how to deliver people that are under such manipulation. Have you ever been to a place before the gospel was coming back to you? Bouncing back, bouncing back. Have you been there before? It means the hearts of the people are closed. Their hearts are darkened. In fact, they are isolated and insulated from light. There's something to do to bring deliverance unto Jacob. Now, so the call of God right now is for the establishment of personal prayer altars. You choose your time. When you have chosen the time, give that time to God and don't take it back. The only thing that may influence that time is that maybe you traveled on, you went on a journey, it took so much time in the day, and that time was compromised. And when you are restored to normalcy, keep that time as a covenant. Miracle. What is your prayer time? 8 p.m. For how long have you prayed for 8 p.m.? From 400 level. That's how many years now? Any encounter by 8 p.m. Yes, a time comes when in the spirit realm your location is known. Your timing is known. Don't change things too much like that. Don't pray by 9, pray by 7, pray by 10. You will not know what I'm saying. It will be difficult for you to know the no angelic ministry. It will be difficult for your ears to hear God's voice audibly. Have you ever heard God's audible voice before? I've heard it. Don't change the time. Be religious about that time. And choose the time that is most convenient for you. And give God at least 1 hour. In that time, let God determine the prayers you pray. Don't take prayer points there. Are you with me? Pray God's prayer. Pray the prayers He lays on your heart. Don't pray your own. When you come for, after that 1 hour you have given God, prayed His prayer, you can create another time to pray your own prayer. But that 1 hour is not for you, it's for God. You can create another time, pray about money issues, about husband. But that time, that 1 hour is not for husband prayer. Allow God to give you the prayers to pray that time. Just like tax, you pay your tax, you pay your house rent, you pay your water bill, you also pay your tithe, and then you pay your time for prayer. It's not something you can negotiate. I can't wake up, my house rent is 200,000. I can't negotiate it in the middle of the year. You can't change the goalpost in the middle of a game. When you give God that time, leave it with Him. Be serious about it. And when you are coming before God, don't come to pray your prayer. Pray what? The prayers He lays on your heart. You can be there and there's no prayer point. Your heart is just flooded with an awe of God. And you are just worshipping God. That's what He wanted that day. Allow Him have it. Are you with me? Now you guys stop moving around this hall. Rise up. Let's practice prayer. Now let me show you what you do in your personal prayer time. It takes 45 minutes to 1 hour for you to get your spirit charged. That is, if you are operating from no battery at all, battery charge zero. Your spirit is devoid of charge. Hallelujah. So if your spirit is empty of charge and you want to run the spirit back to full charge, it takes about 45 minutes and one hour to do. In my own opinion. Amen. My own opinion. That time I took to charge my spirit is not prayer. It's just for me to come to God's frequency. I count the hours from the time I've entered. Now, if you are consistent with God, for you to come into God's frequency, sometimes it can take 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. The time can be short. But if you are operating from zero charge, it takes 45 minutes to 1 hour for you to come back to normal or optimal frequency. Hallelujah. Now, so you spend those times that you need to come into the frequency. You spend those times speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the mechanism that takes you to God's frequency. If you are sensitive, you will know when you are changing gear as you speak in tongues. And then a time comes when you begin to flow on God's frequency. A time comes when God now lays a prayer point on your heart. Alright? If that prayer point is from the Bible, you can stop and go and check it. That verse. He laid a verse on your heart. You can check it. And read the environment and see the emphasis. And you come back. When you are praying God's prayer, you don't only pray in tongues at that point. You pray in tongues and pray in your understanding. Because there are several times that God will anoint you, expect you to make some utterances. You must be sensitive to the shift of grace that comes upon your life and how it empowers you to speak God's counsel. At a point in your prayer, a song can capture your spirit. Leave that prayer. Begin to sing that song. If you are singing a song and then a scripture comes upon your heart, you leave your song, you move to that scripture. And from one level to the other, God begins to take you for the period that you pray. Are you following me? Now, we are going to pray in tongues for the next 5 minutes. Things will be laid on the hearts of people. Then, based on the things that are laid, we will take a sample and I will show you how to address it. How to relate with that thing that was laid upon your heart. Sometimes, or most of the times, God does not speak in words. You don't hear the voice. You just sense that God is happy. And because God is happy, you feel joy on your inside. And out of that joy, you are just worshiping. Maybe that's what it takes from you for that 1 hour. That 1 hour is not for you, it's for God. You allow Him to do what He wants to do. Hallelujah. Now, is there anybody here that can play the keyboard? I want to take you somewhere and show you a place so that you will stay in that place and rest there. No, all. Oh my God. Okay, let's leave. Nobody to play. Now, in the next 5 minutes, I just want you to speak in tongues for 5 minutes. Get yourself charged. Get yourself charged. Okay, in the name of Jesus. Now, there's something I do. This 1 hour, this time I've given to God. You can make it. I don't know about you, but I'm crazy. I'm a crazy guy when it comes to seeking God, you know. Normally, I can put a sound. There's a music I like. I create the atmosphere for God. Just like if you are going to have a visitor. You buy malt, buy biscuit. So we want to entertain the visitor, alright? So me, I take music. I'm not saying take music, I'm just telling you my own. Maybe you have another one. I put a cat, there's a music. Jesus. And as that music is, yes, that song, it stirs my spirit. So I use the strength I get from that music. What I'm trying to do is to gain ascendancy. That music is relevant as long as I'm not hearing music from heaven. Because the time comes when I begin to hear heavenly music, I can switch that one off if I want to. And I move into the realm. Let's pray in tongues for the next 5 minutes. Now God is going to, please be serious about these 5 minutes. Forget about your neighbor. The configuration of your lipstick. Pray for yourself. Don't give anybody backup prayer. Matthew. Because Matthew will not be there giving you backup in your house. Moselahala Brantababo Sante Maila Hazal. Moselahala Braska Tonde Hazina Hala Brantala Baskabela Hayo. Mosela hala brasketanda sabaranto zima haskatobina kadeli. Aila man santa branta la babosa kete la ziala bahanta branta la babula mankande.
Mosela hala sela hia la casca tombre samantale barantos que la ila calabalantele. Monta sedan cosqueta branta laba sora mahalata hiskama. Employ the power that is in the depth of your belly. Let the springs in the depth of your belly begin to usher forth. Gubreskata mosanda blaskata le mahalelia. Let the springs that is on your inside break forth. Let the springs break forth. Let the springs break forth. Let the springs break forth. Mahosete branta la babosa bakatali mozali. Manta sata branta la babosa kablasketa menazela handa la babora. Manta sata barabaskanda braskata lebo sete bregedena bakuria masaleba. Aila mandara sate. Ziga baskata branta la babosa dahila bahala. Draw water out of the wells of salvation. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers, 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 rivers of living water. Rivers, 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 rivers of living water. Moseka balanza brada babaha. Eta tempos keta mansata brada bakode maskadebri ada babarante. Maita kose branta skebarate gozamina kadelia. Nenko bahasa. Ikata barata maskadia branta la babore. Manto seka bayeke kadaba sobria la baba. Mount up with wings, mount up with wings. Mount up with wings. Osela branda la babosa mandela bragada. Masa brata basaka kala basaka gabakala balabre. Makasata branta la babosa bregadena bakuda baskadia branta la babala. Mendo seketa la baskabria la babara malataria la babo. Po baba ba santa branta la basamina branta la babori. Ba brada ba sebri araba banta branta la babori ba natali. Ja brata bata la barata di araba bon sa braga da la babala ba santa da la babori. Ma kata branta la basaka branta la babori. Ma ka branta la babo sebre gedena ba la maska di branta la babori. Ba kata la branta la babo sa manta braga batale. Ba kata la branta la basaka ta la babori branta la basaka. Bakata la balada di Arabasanda di Arababori Balatalia. Bakata la balada di Arabasanda di Arababonda. Bakata la balada di Arababori Balada di Arababanda. Bakata la basanda di Arababoskete. Makata la branta la babori. 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 Makata la basala balandalia. Esata branta babala baladadia. Ebregadena balada da da baboria. Ebrada balada da da babaskata la branta la baboria. Ebregadena baskamena branta la bala. Ababa Baila basanta brantala babora, baila basanta brantala babala, Baila basanta branta la babora. Baila basanta branta la balada. Baila basaka tala barada ba. Atabala bala bala. 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 Atabala bala. Baila Santa Branta la Babosa Bacate Baboria Macata Zeta Banta la Balanta Brera Babare Bacantalia Zabella Tabranta la Babosca de Brigata la Balanta Acabala da Dagabascanda da Babo Acabala Balanta da Babolevala Acabala Balada da Babo Antabala Balabala Babo Acabala Balada da Babo Acabala Basanda da Babo Atabranta la Babori Balada da Babo Zacabala Bala Zacabala Bala Zacabala Bala Zacabala Bala Zacabala Bala Zacabala Bala Antabala Bala Antabala Bala Antabala Bala Antabala Bala Zaisa la Balata Zaisa la Balanda Zaisa la Bala Zaisa Mantalaba Zaisa Mantabala Zaisa Mantabala Zaisa Mantalaba Zaisa Mantalaba Agabala Balaba 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 Agabala 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 Agabala Balaba Sebala kaskato priara babanda. Sebala tabranta la babo sebenata. Abrata balabala. Zekate baleta tebrati makanta da la baboria. Eskate bregete. Makabala tabranta la babo. Basakata la bala. Jamena tate la branta la baboria. Ebrakabata la basana balata. Abranta la basamina branta la baboria. Akabala tabranta la baskabala. Sabena kaskato mina. Zaisa zala balanta. Zaisa zala balanta babo. Barata branta la basamina. Banta branta la babo, baraka branta la babo, baraka branta la babo, baraka branta la babo, jamena branta de babo. Balasaka tala baska da bera babanda, bataka skato bera babala, banta la baska de ba, zebrega de la baka de babalata, jabalata branta la babo, balata branta la babo, balata branta la babo, balata branta la babo. Balata branta la babo, balata branta la baska balata, abranta balata, abranta la baska bala, ebregete la basanda di ana baba, branta la basanda di ana babo, balata branta la baska bala, branta la basanda di ana babo, la branta la balada di ana babo, bara balada di ana babo, bara la balada di ana babo, bara da 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 babo di balada di ana bala, akabala da da babo, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly, 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 shall flow, shall flow, shall flow, shall flow, shall flow, shall flow, rivers. Takoska te branta la bakada balatanya, sheta branta la baboska te bragabata la baladaria la babanda. Brata talabasanda diana baboska tebregadena bakuda balata diana babaha. Zai zezembo tonda. Asesazena makata brenta na bakoria. Zakatom preskatabriada babalataya. Zakabranta la babora maskate. Zateta da da balatada da babo. Zate se se se. Zase 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 se se se. Lanta baraka baskate regate na bakate bala. Zata sketo baraka skanda. Zeta kasketo pregate. Bata kesko tamina skade babaya. Entra na maskude da izaha. Zazombra ala takoska. Zazombra askatabala. Oh yes, oh yes. Basa kabala tabranta la babosa kate. Brakata la basanta de la balataya. Brakata la basanta de la babonda. Brata la baseta talibaskatania. Brakata la basanta de la babonda. Abrasna de branta la baboria. Ebregatella baskunda. Abata branta la basabra randa de la baboria. Ebrera bacata branta la basada de la babalata. Ebrera balonda regatella basamena. Ebrera bacana malantania. Adebasconda. Ademalatanta. 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 Atemalatanda, Atemalatanda, Atemaskadalia Rantana Baboya, Atemaskada Rantana Baboya, Atabakada Barada, Atabaskada, Atabaska, Atabalaska, Atabrantana Babori Balata, Askata Rantana Baboya, Ekabanta Santana Basalana, Apera Babara Balantania, Ekababa Baba. Zuba kabatanta baboria, Zuba kanda Brantana Babala, Zuba kanda Brantana Bakadia. Oh my God. Out of his belly. 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 Shall flow rivers. 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 Oh my God. Oh my God. Rivers. 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 Rivers of living water. 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 Oh God. In the name of Jesus.
You see, the heavens just open just because we pray in tongues. There's power in this hall right now. There's power. There's power. Just because we pray. Just because we pray. Just because we pray. There's power everywhere. There's power everywhere. Oh my God. Somebody rejoice in him. Rejoice in him. Oh, there's power everywhere. Power everywhere. There's power in this place. Just because we called upon him. Power everywhere. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. 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 And I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you.
Sing it now.
I want more of you. Sing, I want more. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More. Listen to me. Sister, come. Touch that sister, Bultu. Come.
The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More I want more of you. I want more of you.
When you sing, sing from the depth of your heart.
I want more. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More. And I want more, I want more. I want more of you. Sing it, I want more of you. Jesus, the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more.
And when you sing like that, your heart begins to open. Your heart begins to open. And if we pray beyond this point, power will break in this hall because our hearts are open. That's how we reach the heavens. That's what the high priest means. A song that opens your heart and takes you high. Takes you to the frequency of God. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More. The more I know you, the more I know you, the more I want to know, Jesus. I saw the Lord bringing restoration into your life. Several things that were the devil manipulated. I saw him. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More. The more I know you, the more I. More I want to know you, Jesus. It's in a place of prayer that things are restored. Things that the devil takes away, God begins to restore it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that which was taken away from this life. And while we prayed, you brought the grace for restoration. We deliver such back to her right now. Bring her. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you have made, but right now God is putting your life back together. When you touch the heavens, things begin to come down. Now let's go for the next 5 minutes. God will restore more things to more people. 5 minutes. Just in tongues. Just in tongues. Just in tongues. Try as much as possible not to walk out now. Do not walk out. Can't talk, say. Sketo barita skate bahandema sando. Mambra skate boboria mahasaya. Lihaskata pranta la baboska menza leta kulia maraha. Kulia maraha. Kulia maraha. Shanta baba seta pranta la baboria mahala. Entosketa masezezeze. Nita barahala. Matahala basanta da baboria. Babroske tebregedela baskanda baboza mantale. Shaboske zezalia tatam braskadaba. Zezalia zeda braske tobia da babandelia. Zezalia santa brantala bakadema. Zezalia radabaskonte bregedela bakademo skanda. Kaela babarata brantala babo ramaskade babo. Babrasata brantala babo. Babla da baskata brata la baboria braskate. Sasa so de baskanda vera manata. Babla skata brata la babori balatalia. Sasa kote brenta la bakade babalia. Sasa kote brenta la bakuta. Atatata balatata. Yes, yes, yes. Something is happening. It's happening. It's happening. Ziga basketo vera babala. Manta sete ba uria takebo. Baila skembra apatande skomba. Babeska tete de bokotope. Babeska tabrata baska tebranta la baboria. Zase na kabala da da baboria. Ento balate baske. Ento balate baske. Ento balate da baska tabiana baske. Ento baska tabiana babala tabranta la baboria. Ento bakanda brata bakata da da babola. Bata basa da da babole balatania. Eskate regede la balataria da babanda. Babrata la bastaka, babrata la baladaria, babrata la basobria, babrata la balandaria, babrata la baconda, babrata la baconda, babrata la basaka baladada da babo, bayata da babo de balata, bayata da babo de balata, anda basabregade, bala balata da babo, bala basada da babo, bala basada da babo, bala basada. Babo, Balaba Sana Rababo, and the Polabala de Debo, and the Polabala da Babo, and the Brantala Babo. Assessabai Askata Begadena Babai Ziga Brata Maskata Yanababai Baila Masanda Yanababola Maskata Baila Seketela Brantala Baboya Baila Brasata da Baboya. Baila Bregadella Batanda Dada Babalata, Banta Brantala Babosa, Bata Brantala Babalata, Banta Brantala Babori Baladania, Esate, Ebrada Babara Makata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Touch the room. Come. Madam, follow her. Touch her stomach. With your right hand. Because I see the Lord touching your stomach. Can we pray for this woman's womb to open? Let's ask the Lord, let the womb be open. Let the womb be open.
the hospital. Pai Costanta Breta Bakata Brata Baboramaha. And so Tebre Getella Bakuria Masanta Yada Babalata. Mahansa Compress had Yada Basatania Rada Baborebas that day. Babra Gasca Tabriana Babasa Brata Babosa Matalea. Zabra Bakaska Tomina Zali. Zabra Getella Bakata Brata Babori. Babra Ascata Brata Babori Masandeli. Babra Dana Babori Balatalia. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, right now, let there be a transfer from our head to our stomach, to our womb. To her womb. Let anything that locked it be broken. Bring her. To her womb. To her womb. Oh my God. God is already answering you. His hand is coming strong. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I command that womb to open. Open. Keep laying your hands. Keep laying your hands there. Keep laying your hands there. It's an oppression that's taking place. Somebody locked her womb. It's opening now. It's opening now. Her womb was locked through sorcery. Yes, yes. Let it open up. 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 Now, I want us to make demands on. I think she has a female before. Now, we want male. All right, let's receive a mail from heaven. Just be praying. Heavens, the heaven is open. Shaetendo odis kana tetaya. Me atenda sonta barakante skobalande. Ma atenda skata branta laba sobria la candeli. Ma atenda skobregedela bakuta bakatania. Mukatenda marataske tomba la kampata. Mukatenda la aha. Oh my God. Oh my God. Bobo bo santa laba. Baba 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 ya. Bebe santa siga baba landa. Bebe bakada ya santa boska te balaha. Peska tablanta laba bose bahila. Belina kanda balaha ya bastanda. Banto seka bayaka. Yakaka boskata malata branta la babori. Yes. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Lift her up. Lift her up. Lift her up. In the name of Jesus. Now, the grace to conceive will come upon her. She will feel it in her body. You know, spiritual things take place first in the spirit, right? She will feel it. The anointing is even coming so heavy that it's coming on other people too. My God. All right. She will feel it before the count of seven. Father, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, the power to conceive, let it hit her. Let it hit her. Let it hit her. Let it hit her. It's coming. It's coming. Your heart has opened to it.
she will feel it. From the crown of her head. Pray for her. Pray for her now. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I told you that she will feel it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my. I told you that she will feel it. That's the power to conceive. That's the power to conceive. That's the power to conceive. Come.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Now, all we did today is to show us that prayer has power. But you see, you need to be sensitive as you pray. Things can open. You can close things, you can open things. But you see, you need to be sensitive. You must be sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's an angel walking in this hall. Now, I want to ask God to allow that angel to touch somebody. See, when you begin to pray, you are brought into spiritual activity. And God gives you the sense to discern the activity. Rejoice, ma. Rejoice. He gives you the grace to sense the spiritual activity. Alright? Now, it's a normal thing. Don't say, hey, this is pastor. No, no, it's normal. We all should walk like that. I'm here to teach you, to bring you into that realm. Alright? Walk like that with a consciousness of the spiritual environment that you are, that you find yourself. There's an angel walking this hall. I want to ask God to touch, to command that angel to touch somebody. Is that simple enough? Even as you are looking at me now, if it's you, it will flow you down. Whether you are in the flesh or in the spirit is immaterial. Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you. That your people will come into the understanding of the power of prayer, I ask that you grant, you permit in this service that that angel puts its hands on one of us here standing. God has heard me. Father, put your hands. Put your hands. Carry that child. Carry that child. Carry that child. Carry the child. Put your hands. Put your hands. Put your hands. Let it run from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Strange power of God. Put your hands. 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 Let all the setbacks that she has had, all the limitations, all the curses that were laid upon her, let it be broken today. Let it be broken. Put your hands. Put your hands. Put your hands. Put your hands. That same dream of oppression that she used to have in the night, we abolish that spirit. We abolish that spirit. Put your hands upon her. Oh my God. That's just a simple prayer. That's just a simple prayer. They, in fact, two of them have put their hands. Two of them now. Two of them now. See, it's two now. It's two now. It's two now. There's a third one coming close. A third one is coming. He will give you the grace to know. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He will give you the grace to know. And you will know it. As much as you know physical things, you will know spiritual things. I want you to have boldness and confidence when you pray that God is using your prayer to change things. I ask you to stand here. Just stand here. I don't know, but you have not yet opened your heart. Something is, I don't know what you are afraid of. What are you afraid of? You are holding back. Like, tell me what you are afraid of. Let me hear. I Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Good. Somebody will minister to you now. Pastor. Come on, take this lady. Come. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Come. Take two of them there. Let them be baptized with you. You want to receive the Holy Spirit? You want to receive? Alright, follow me. Please don't be distracted by them. They are doing something else. Woman wearing green, come. When you pray, you can change some things. You want, can we change some things now? In your life, change some things in your family, change some things around you. You are set, you desire such a change. Okay, can we pray for this woman for the next 5 minutes? I'm just trying to illustrate prayer. What prayer can do. How God answers it. Don't forget. Can't forget. God will give you a voice among your people. I'll keep saying that every day. He give you a seat. He give you a voice among your people. The day when it comes to pass, I'll call you as well. You remember. Okay. Mahazeli makadia branta boskete briada babala malahaya. Malabremina zebri alabakaske tombre evezeza so alabraske tobina kadeli. Malabrenda sketabri alabakuske tebregete alabakanda so mina kabri alababaranta skombre. Mahaseza zelibakaska talia branta alababosa mantalia. Mahasada branta alababori mahasel. Oh man, God wants to help you. The Lord wants to help you. In the name of Jesus. God wants to help this woman. She has been struggling for long. The help of God is coming upon you. He's empowering you. He's going to help you from today. He's going to help you from today. He's going to help you with the load, with the trouble. He's helping you from today. He's helping you from today. He's helping you from today. I see him carrying, oh my God, 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 oh my God. He's carrying the burden from you. The load you have been carrying. Thank you. Thank you. From the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, let your power run through her body. Thank you, Father. He will help you carry the load. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for 1 minute. One minute. Now listen to me. Please leave them all. They are in another service. Matthew, go and sit down. Where are you going? Sit down. It's as if anywhere they are speaking in tongues. Leave them. Now listen to me. We have come to a critical point in the work of God in this land. We have an intention to spread beyond Makoti, go to other places, and what we are doing is capital intensive. So I wanted to raise this call so that people will be more zealous in supporting this work financially. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why I will never come to the pulpit and insist that people give money, the reason is because I want you to first love God, love Jesus first, love His work, love Him. And I also want you to develop an interest for His work, an interest for His house, an interest for His purposes. And set your heart to partner. Because after this talk that I've talked now, it's not as if I will give you paper to write name, no. It's not as if we will follow you to trace your house so that you give us money, no. But put it in your heart as something between you and God to support what we are doing as God blesses you. Hallelujah. He might tell you, pay your tithes here. He might tell you, give this sum of money consistently. He might tell you, do this, please obey Him, because we need funds right now to invade places. We are talking of Naka. We want to hold a crusade there. We need money to do that. Eventually people will be saved, lives will be saved, people will be healed. Many things will happen. We intend to plant a base in Naka. Hallelujah. They said demons in Tivland, that the old ones are in Naka. But we want to plant a base there and drive them out. Right now it's going to cost us so much to do that, and I want, as we are partnering together to pray, I want us to partner together financially. I know most of us are students, no problem. On your own level, be a consistent partner on your own level. Are you with me? You can't give what you don't have, but on your own level, let it be in your heart to partner financially and sacrificially. From this point, we need that. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Don't worry, we'll close. I will see the person after this. So please, make sure. See our ministers. Evangelist Chris, stand up. Pastor. This is our pastor. Chris, where are the rest? Where are the other ones? Uka! Uka, stand up. Uka, stand up. Now, these people, it's not tongues that they eat. They eat luan. And I assure you, some of them can eat much. It don't cost you anything to walk up to them and bring 5 yams. Say, take. I don't have money, but I have 5 yams. Take. Take 10,000. Not that one is not offering. No, you just walked up to one of them and say, hallelujah. We want to spread out now. From next year, massive spreading out. In Otukpo, you will see our flag there. Next year. In Oju, you will see our flag there. In Naka. One day you might be driving to Kasinala, you will see our flag there. Now we are on cable. 166,000 Naira for 13 episodes. And we have been paying sacrificially, putting ourselves under pressure. We are paying that, and we'll keep on paying. We also want to water Kogi State so that we can water the place with television ministry, with a view of hitting that place subsequently. Hallelujah. It's time for us to partner financially. See Evangelist Chris, put money in his hand. See Matthew, these guys pray in the night for you. When you sleep, they are praying the night. Put money in their hand. Alright? Please sit down, sit down, sit down. sin. Now, I want to bless you now. Can I bless you? Can a small boy bless you? Lord, we thank you. Healing anointing is coming on somebody now. Healing. Healing. You see, you are going far, I hope you know. You are going far. I've prayed. The troubles will not stop now. I'm not breaking your heart anyway. But they will stop. They will. But you are going far in your profession, in your PhD, far there, and far spiritually. You will be a learned preacher. A learned, knowledgeable preacher. But you see, what will distinguish you is the humility with which you carry yourself, irrespective of the height and the privilege that God has granted you. It will stop, but not now. I just said I wanted to bless you. Did this lady speak in tongues? This one would. What's your name? A what? Did you speak in tongues? Sure. If I say go to the pulpit, take my mic and lead us in tongues, can you do it? Okay, go to the office and be praying in tongues there. When you pass through this curtain, you see one door, enter there. Oh yeah, go there, go there. And when you begin to pray, pray loud, so that you will be sure. You see, in the next 3 years, when you see the impact of what we have been building, when you see people, you'll be amazed. 3 more years. It will not even get to 3 years, sir. You will see what will happen. I beg you, and don't be one leg here, one leg here. No. Go all out, all out. Something wants to happen. Okay? Just give your heart to him and follow. Don't be too wise. And when you go, when you do that, he's coming for us from next year. From that next year to we'll get to 3 years, you will see strange things happening through ordinary people. Can I bless you? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Hey, my God. Now, let me tell you a parable. It's a parable. As we are praying like that, heaven is opening. I'm seeing things. Okay, let me hide. Let me hide this parable for now. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for honoring our prayers. Thank you for washing us with your blood. Thank you for accepting us as your people. We do not take these things lightly. We return the thanks to you. We return the praise to you. Oh my God. Now, see, let me be sure. I'm trying to show you what the prayer is doing. The light has moved from here. I saw it. Then the light came here. Let me off my mic so that prayer has power. Now, what would have happened if we were not praying? God has honored you. I don't know what He has been preparing you for, but this honor will make your name great. We'll make your name great. We'll make your name great. We'll make your name great. Somebody has been delivered from death. Let's continue our prayer. Lord, we give you glory. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because you are kind. We thank you because you are wonderful. Let your word rest strongly upon our hearts, mightily upon us. Let a new thing begin with us and your spirit. Cause us, O God, and strengthen us to stand in our watch as we seek your face, as we pour our love upon you, as we pour our love upon you. Accept our prayers as we go to establish altars in our closets. Attend to us with your presence and with your fire. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Come. Go and discharge that girl from... No, pass here, pass here. Discharge her. Don't go yet. There are several places that the presence of God is. Like where I pray in my room. If you bring a sick person there, you take the person out. Heal without prayer. There are locations. Anywhere there's an altar. That office, if I don't have revelation, that office, and I come back from Lagos, what I do is, I enter there first. Once I sit on the seat, what to preach for 4 days, we come down. Before that, check me, if I land, I will enter there first. I don't need message from Lagos. Is there? There's something I did in that place. You will know the power of prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ.